Religion, theology, diversity, tolerance. This is The God Show on FM News Talk 92.3. For the next hour, we'll be examining the important contemporary issues in your life in spiritual terms. Our guests represent diverse areas of the world of theology. Now, here's the host of The God Show, Pat McMahon.
Well, they keep talking about diversity, and certainly we have that anytime that you're talking about spirituality around the planet and how many different ways that that can be defined. However, today we're going to be talking about a really different approach to a quest for understanding in the area of spirituality and faith. We're talking about walking and sweating and going through a whole bunch of shoes. You haven't really understood your neighbor until you walk in his sandals or his Nikes or whatever it is that my guest Eric Elness used as he walked from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. not that long ago. Why did he do that? Well, the subtitle of his book says that he was attempting to find a new Christian faith along the highways of America. And that apparently is why he calls the book Asphalt Jesus. We'll find out more from Eric Elness. And we welcome you to the studios of The God Show, Eric. All right, you were looking for a new Christian faith along the highways of America. Did you find it?
Absolutely. By the way, thank you for inviting me on the show. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
We weren't necessarily expecting to find a new faith emerging, but that is what we found. That is what led to the subtitle of the book.
Asphalt Jesus, though, is the title. Explain how you arrived at that.
Well, we were in walking across America. It was not just myself, but six other walkers and a core team of 10 that traveled 2,500 miles from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. And it was an attempt to put feet to prayer and to really walk our talk. A lot of us were a bit, more than a bit, uncomfortable with the way that religion was depicted in the public square. It really looked very different from what we understood to be our faith.
Was it inaccurately presented in the public square? It looks to me as if religion, if there are problems with its image, it may be the fault of religion.
Well, that's one thing that we wanted to test. We wanted to find out if the picture in the public square is accurate, or and we are just way off base in our faith, or what was going on. Certainly the picture in the public square is that if you're a Christian, you believe your way is the only way, that all others are going to hell. You believe that you need to read the Bible literally and inerrantly. You don't care much for the environment, although that's changing a little bit as of late. You certainly are not for the full inclusion of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people. You oppose the separation of church and state. You're threatened by science and so forth. Well, that does not look anything like our Christian faith and the path that we knew about Jesus. And so we wanted to walk and listen to people and proclaim a faith that that we knew and see what resonated.
Well, you know what's resonating outside of our studios right now is some people are driving to an early service for their churches and their beliefs and their form of worship. And some people are just simply relaxing and having an early cup of warm beverage, however they greet Sunday morning. And they're saying, McMahon has another one of those liberal preachers on. Here he is talking about gay and liberal issues. Here he is talking about separation of church and state. And here he is about any question about the fact that every single dot over every I in the Bible is absolutely true. Now, is there any room for conservative thought with your philosophy, within your congregation in Scottsdale, or within the structure of your walk from Phoenix to Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely. In fact, on our walk, we met up with quite a large number of conservative evangelical Christians and had a great time with a number of them.
Did they?
Yes. That was one of the surprises, and I write about this in the book, number of surprising experiences. I'm not a card-carrying liberal. I think that those terms, in fact, one of the things that we found on the walk is that those terms are very inaccurate to categorize people into liberal, moderate, conservative. To me, I'm a Christian who believes in the three great loves that Jesus himself identifies as being the most important: love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. And I believe that we can't just say two out of three ain't bad. That's the kind of Christian I am.
And by the way, Eric Elness also happens to be that kind of Christian and a PhD doctorate, senior pastor of Scottsdale Congregational United Church of Christ, and co-founder of Crosswalk America. What is that?
Crosswalk America was an organization set up to take this walk across the country and also to broadcast a set of 12 principles organized around those three great loves known as that have become known as the Phoenix Affirmations, which were developed, incidentally, right here in Phoenix by local clergy at first, and then gradually expanded to lay people and then biblical scholars and theologians across the all kinds of theological divides around the country. And we came up with 12 succinct principles, which are located, you can find on the Crosswalk America website at crosswalkamerica.org.
I'm going to do you one better, yeah. As a matter of fact, because I'm going to tell right now everybody to stand by, perhaps with a pencil and a piece of paper, if they want to just jot down very quickly some kind of codified short version of these affirmations, because we're going to give them to you before you even go to the website. Or before you buy the book, because it's early on in the book, by Eric Elness. The book is Asphalt Jesus, and it's filled with stories and experiences of a very great journey. If you can imagine walking through the United States, which is exactly what happened from Phoenix, Arizona to Washington, D.C., as these people did this, I think probably it's accurate to say looking for Jesus. Looking for the Jesus that you recognized in your life and the way that you talk to your congregation about that person who established those tenets of behavior, but looking for those people who somehow had a very different approach and a very different portrait of that same life. That's one of the reasons why it is that I wanted Eric Elness to join us on the God Show today. When we're looking for that kind of Christianity that became your subtitle, Finding a New Christian Faith Along the Highways of America, it occurred to me when I saw that to ask you how we lost it to begin with.
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it's actually ever been lost. It has gone into hiding at times. I think that this kind of faith that is emerging really has been in the process of emerging over the course of 100 to 150 years. It's really the product of Christianity's engagement with other cultures, other diverse people, science certainly, and discovering that God is still speaking in this world and shedding new light on the scriptures, and that emerging faith began in the seminaries early on, and certainly pastors who were trained in any of the mainline seminaries in particular were aware of this faith that was emerging, but it was largely left to the seminaries. And it's only been in the last roughly 30 years that has begun to spill over into the common everyday life. And part of the rise of fundamentalism is a direct response to the stress and anxiety of this new understanding of faith, which is really not new at all. It's just simply been emerging out of the seminaries.
Okay, but is this new faith in opposition to what many of us call fundamentalism, whether it's fundamental evangelical Christianity, whether you refer to it as religion from the right, is this faith that you're talking about, this kind of religion, going to be a counterpoint to those people who categorize themselves as fundamentalists?
That's an excellent question, Pat, and I have to confess that at times I thought it was. But after taking this walk, I don't think so. All of us became convinced that this is not a counterpoint to fundamentalism. Jesus is the Rosetta Stone that links us all together, and we have this great common ground in Jesus and his path. And if we can actually have an open, honest conversation about this person we know in Jesus and the God revealed in Jesus, that's really actually honest and vulnerable, we can go a long way into crossing divides.
Well, we're going to find out how you cross the Great Divide. We're going to find out how it is that you managed to walk across most of America and at the same time collect in your backpack remarkable experiences for you and a few of the experiences that you left behind. Eric Elness, the Asphalt Jesus, on The God Show here on FM 92.3.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Well, if you answered yes, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you think an MP3 is a computer virus, it's okay. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council. Ever since we added this Ann Carlo guy, the phones just won't stop ringing.
I would really rather listen to rap music than listen to Ann Carlo.
It's clear that he's a racist and a fascist.
I'd rather listen to cats fighting.
Ann Carlo off the air.
Find out what they're so worked up about tomorrow morning at 8:30.
Ann Carlo
on News 92.3 KTAR-FM.
Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car, and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Determination. Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Are your credit cards maxed out? Not paying some bills so you can take care of others? Or are you behind on the rent or utility bills? You can start the year off right by getting your finances in order. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling, a nonprofit organization, offers a number of steps you can take to get yourself on the way to living debt-free. Track your spending for 1 month and record all your expenses, what kind and how much you spent. Use that to figure out where you can trim the fat. Look for low-cost alternatives to reduce expenses. Pack your lunch instead of buying it. Go to the library instead of the bookstore. When your credit card bills arrive, pay more and pay extra, exceeding the minimum payment. For more tips on how to recover from debt or get help in developing a budget, contact the NFCC to reach a certified counselor at 800-388-2227 or visit them at nfcc.org. A public service message from the NFCC.
Some radio stations prefer programming from the East Coast.
Only one is completely devoted to what's happening here.
Local. In the Valley.
Running a meth lab out of his home.
Fifth Street in Mill and Tempe. That's closed.
What community?
Another viewpoint of the future of Arizona.
Arizona's news, traffic, and weather station. News 92.3 KTAR FM. You're listening to The God Show on FM News Talk 92.3.
Eric Eldis decided he'd go for a walk. And it started in Phoenix, Arizona, wound up in Washington, D.C. And along the way, he met many people. And it almost sounds like one of those mythical children's stories. I don't know whether you ever compared it, Eric, while you were on the road like that. But it is almost like the kind of thing that you tell your kids as a bedtime story at night. So there we were, and then you talk about the look at Des Moines, Iowa, and I met the most fascinating wizard, human being, shopkeeper, fill in the blank.
You know, you're absolutely right about that, actually. It very much felt like... you know, you're moving so slowly, you think that life would be very much slowed down, but actually the life actually opens up and becomes much more of a drama, and it does feel very much like you're entering a great mythological saga or quest.
But, all right, when you were in any part of that middle of the United States, and you ran into somebody and they said, well, why are you walking along the highway? Why can't you get a car like anybody else? And you explained your mission. And you started talking to them about your interpretation of what the Bible is supposed to be about. Did you find that they were very defensive if they happened to be Christians who were in that category that we were referring to before of fundamentalist faith?
Certainly we ran into some of that. We ran into just out-and-out protesters in St. Louis, in fact. But what really surprised us wasn't the opposition. It was actually the people who we thought would be closed to our point of view or not wanting to listen, who actually were much more open than we imagined. For instance, there's a church in Hereford, Texas. We'd had a hard time finding a church to support us to put up our walkers overnight and to perhaps open their pulpit on Sunday. And because most of them, they'd read the Phoenix Affirmations and they might have disagreed with one or two. By the way, most of them, even the most conservative Christians, would look over the 12 Phoenix Affirmations and find that they agree with most of them. One of the churches that responded was the Fellowship of Believers, which I write about in Asphalt Jesus. Tracy Dunn Noland is the pastor there, and she wrote back saying, we would love to host you, or we'd love to put up your walkers, we'd love to even open up the pulpit to Dr. Ellenus on Sunday morning. However, we need to tell you that you should find it a pleasant surprise if any of our congregation affirms all your Phoenix affirmations. But if you're willing to come on that basis, we have a strong tradition of listening to alternate points of views, challenging ourselves and our own understandings, and we'd love you to come.
So you found that in Hereford, Texas, but there were protesters in St. Louis, Missouri.
Funny thing, isn't it? In the Bible Belt, actually, we had a terrific time. We found people, that sense of hospitality, and people got that if we're walking for Jesus, we may disagree on some points. There was a very conservative radio station, in fact, in Farwell, Texas, who welcomed us, and the station manager greeted us at the door. And I just had some pretty brutal experiences with some national radio hosts that were very conservative before, and so I was a little bit nervous walking to Jesus Radio in Farwell, Texas. But the station manager had noted that the Pastoral Alliance in Clovis, New Mexico, had rejected us, and Farwell was just across the border, and he was just incensed about that. And he said, I'm so glad you could be on our show. I know we disagree on a few things, but I'm more about seeing common ground than differences. You're walking for Jesus. We want you to speak about your faith.
At the end of the walk, did you find yourself more encouraged? Did you find yourself more optimistic about the direction of Christianity?
Yes, we definitely did. Now, that's not without nuance, however. I mean, there's a lot of terror out there as well. I mean, we felt a deep sadness as well, particularly sadness amongst the six out of every 10 Americans who self-identify as Christian but are not participating in any community of faith whatsoever. They've either felt so disillusioned by it or that it's irrelevant. There's a lot of angst and wondering, where is this Jesus, the Jesus I knew? Am I crazy for believing what I do? They've absented themselves from church, a lot of them, or they're just simply spiritually, we call them the spiritually homeless, or else they're very spiritually uncomfortable in the pews of a present church. However, we found after crossing the country, we were more hopeful. We found there are so many amazingly creative, intelligent, open-spirited, kind and generous-hearted people, liberal, moderate, and conservative across this country that really do have an abundant sense of faith, a sense of generosity, of inclusion, of compassion, and they're acting on it. And where those people found each other, that's when it really gets interesting. They find each other either in churches or they find each other in house groups outside of churches. But when they find each other, it's magical. When they haven't found each other, they're pretty anxious. They're wondering, am I crazy? Am I the only one? Or is my church the only community that believes these things? Or
you had to go out and find those people, though,
yes,
on your walk. And most of the time, we never hear them because
right,
their voices are soft and modulated. And in Farway or Hereford, Texas, but we hear the voices of the screamers.
Yes.
We hear the people that were giving you a bad time on national radio. And I think probably all of us tend to believe that they represent the whole.
Yes. Certainly, a lot of the media attention goes to those who are causing the most controversy. In fact, when we landed in Washington, D.C., we were hoping for some great publicity around this. We actually were trying to hire a publicity firm to get us some national publicity over
sure.
this. They wouldn't take our money. They said, we don't think we could get you publicity. You guys are too much about love and compassion. You're not burning down churches. You're not castigating your enemies. We don't think anybody's going to be interested.
What is wrong with you people?
I'm sorry.
I mean, the whole idea of looking back at what Jesus was talking about and then practicing it, are you out of your minds?
Yes.
Well,
when
we're talking about this trip, when we're talking about the Asphalt Jesus and the and the walk. It was made up of how many people?
We had seven core walkers, actually six core walkers, one surprise guest walker, and two documentary filmmakers and an RV support driver. So
was the surprise guest a celebrity? Is that why it was a surprise? Or was it just somebody who decided at the last minute to join you?
He was someone who wrote us in January saying, I'd like to join you for the walk across the country, but I'm going to start walking from Oakland, California to Phoenix to meet up with you on Easter Sunday when you leave. And we thought it was crazy that wouldn't happen. But sure enough, on Easter Sunday, a fellow who calls himself, his name is Mark D'Orzio. He calls himself Professor Creekwalker. And he also calls himself a voluntarily houseless, not homeless, joined us for that adventure.
And what a show off. Now, you're going from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. I'll start in Oakland.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll show you guys what a walk is all about. What creates the biggest rift between Christians? Have you arrived at a conclusion?
I think fear creates the biggest rift between Christians. It's interesting because in the more progressive Christian faith, we could be more open to other faiths. We can acknowledge that there could be other legitimate paths to God. A number of us can, but then when it comes to Christians of our own people of our own faith, sometimes we could be more intolerant of those than we are of other faiths themselves. And so, amongst the more moderate and liberal sphere, there can be this great divide between those and fundamentalist or evangelical Christians. And same thing going back across that divide the other way. There's a lot of fear that people have taken away the true Jesus or have crucified him, and therefore a lot of anger and trying to go after those they feel are have taken away the true Jesus.
Well, when it comes to tolerance of other religions, perhaps you should have taken the current Pope Benedict with you on this march. It might have also helped him understand that there are churches who have great value in people's souls and lives. This is The God Show. You'll get the affirmations coming up after the news.
While America debates its foreign policy goals, our military troops are facing gunfire. Let them know they're still in our hearts and prayers by helping take care of their families back home. Operation Homefront provides emergency assistance to military families and wounded warriors, making sure our troops can focus on the dangerous task at hand instead of worrying about their families back home. Find out how you can help by visiting OperationHomefront.net.
Arizona's news, traffic, and weather station. Now with the biggest names in talk.
Show me proof that you are an American. How hard can it be?
And Carlo, 8:30 to noon.
Why would you want to see the execution of anyone?
Pat McMahon, 1 to 4. News, traffic, and weather. And the biggest names in talk. Only on News 92.3. KTAR-FM.
Motto of the Air Force Reserve, pararescuemen, is that others may live. We train to any environment, any situation. It could be up on a mountain, on a cliff. It could be in the ocean. It could be a dive mission. It could be out in the desert or the jungle, Arctic. And that's what makes us unique. When you go and you rescue these people, the look on their faces is extremely gratifying. That's the reward in itself. I'm Captain John Fish, and very proud to be a member of the Air Force Reserve.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
News, traffic, and weather on the way to work and heading home.
Bad weather and heavy traffic.
And while you work, it's at Carlo, 8:30 to noon. Pat McMahon, 1 to 4. News, traffic, weather, and the biggest names in talk. Only on News 92.3 KTAR FM.
Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view, because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
You're listening to The God Show on FM News Talk 92.3.
What an interesting thing it would be to walk across the United States, except for the pain. I think probably that would be the first thing, and then all of the other things that are unpleasant that go with it, like the sun and the thirst. You know what? I've decided to opt out on this. Eric Elness walked instead for me and for you in order to discover whether his Jesus was the same Jesus that people found in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, I'm not sure which Jesus you found in Clovis, New Mexico, but just now during the news, you looked over at my technical director, Ariel, and the two of you shared a story I couldn't believe, because she just met you. Mm-hmm. She turns the television or the computer monitor around and shows you a picture of your group.
Yes, that was surprising.
Well, what happened?
Well, she asked me when we were walking through New Mexico, and I said around May, and then she turned that around. She showed me pictures of me and others, and said that her husband actually was the staff photographer for the Clovis News Journal, who covered our walk as it went through Clovis. Small world, huh?
Truly one of God's miracles taking place here on The God Show on FM 92.3, as we do this every Sunday morning at 6:30 and a couple of other times during the weekend. And in this particular case, I just thought that it would be interesting to find out about a walk that took place, not really to raise money for charity, but to raise awareness for the sake of a whole lot of different interpretations of Christianity. The Phoenix Affirmations, tell me about these, Eric.
Well, they originally started amongst a group of clergy in the Valley called No Longer Silent Clergy for Justice, and we wanted to simply articulate what is the jazz of our faith, what really brings us fully alive and makes us excited to claim the title of Christian, and what is the essence of it all. And so we started, I authored the first version. It was 19 pages long, and everybody said, well, it needs to be shortened up a bit. How about a page? Wow, okay. And so we worked together, and the word started leaking out to other lay people and other pastors in the Valley. Then word leaked out into across the country to other pastors and theologians, biblical scholars, and lay people who started giving input to this. It went through 27 roughly major and minor revisions, and when we hit version 3.8, it was like it just sang to all of us across denominational boundaries, particularly in the mainline church. It really sang, and people even who disagree may have disagreed with one or two of the affirmations saw the spirit of it, though. They say, we can affirm, you know, your proclamation of this. Incidentally, the Phoenix Affirmations are not meant to be a new creed, a new way that we can, like, now define who's Christian, who's not. We would make absolutely no claim that if you disagree with one or all of the affirmations that you can't be Christian. We even put a version number on them, 3.8. To indicate that they're not also meant to be locked in time forever and ever, that God does continue to share new awareness with the world, and hopefully ourselves included, and they're meant to change over time as well.
Time to pick up the pencil and paper so that you can jot this down, or if you would rather just listen and selectively choose a few that you like and reject the other ones, that's fine. But they also will be on the website, right?
Yes, crosswalkamerica.org. You can find them at any time.
Okay.
And also in my books.
That's right. We also want to emphasize the fact that they are early on in the book, Asphalt Jesus, which is available at bookstores and on Amazon.com.
Absolutely. And I have another book that's called The Phoenix Affirmations, A New Vision for the Future of Christianity, that is a commentary on the Phoenix Affirmations.
All right. Well, with everybody sitting on the edge of their seats now saying, all right, well, if it isn't a new creed, and if it is available, let's hear what these affirmations sound like, and we'll just go through them briefly. Beginning with, number one, Christian love of God includes these four elements.
Sure. The first one is walking fully in the path of Jesus without denying the legitimacy of other paths that God may provide for humanity. Number two is listening for God's word, which comes through daily prayer and meditation, studying the ancient testimonies, which we call scripture, and attending to God's present activity in the world. Three is celebrating the God whose spirit pervades and whose glory is reflected in all of God's creation, including the earth and its ecosystems, the sacred and secular, the Christian and non-Christian, the human and non-human. And finally, four is expressing our love in worship that is as sincere, vibrant, and artful as it is scriptural.
What did you mean, Christian and non-Christian, human and non-human?
Well, frequently we focus solely on the human parts of the created world, and we realize that Christians can tend to fall into that. I mean, we certainly is appropriate to focus on humanity. We are humans, by the way, but also we feel it's important to recognize that God created more than just humans in this world. In fact, we are a minority status in this whole of creation, so it's important to attend to and value all of what God has created.
And some Eastern faiths do that far better than Christianity, you'll acknowledge.
Yes, they oftentimes they do. We think that at its deepest taproots, though, we share that depth of awareness as well.
Under Christian love of neighbor, these are the tenets.
Affirmation five, then, is engaging people authentically, as Jesus did, treating all as creations made in God's very image, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, age, physical or mental ability, nationality, or economic class. Six is standing as Jesus does with the outcast and oppressed, the denigrated and afflicted, seeking peace and justice with or without the support of others. Seven is preserving religious freedom and the church's ability to speak prophetically to government by resisting the commingling of church and state. And finally, eight is walking humbly with God, acknowledging our own shortcomings, while honestly seeking to understand and call forth the best in others, including those who consider us their enemies.
I got an email, Eric, this past week that was about as non-Christian, in the broadest possible definition of that, as anything that I read. And in this business, you get some pretty critical messages. But this had to do with the fact that this person was passionately upset with the fact that I embraced gay people. Hmm. Not all of them, but then again, I don't embrace all Lutherans or attorneys or any category of humankind in its totality. In this case, whatever program I was on, I have no idea even what this person was referring to, but it was vitriolic in the attack on me for being tolerant of any of the practices of homosexuals in any form. And that's where that part of that category of affirmation that you were talking about may lose some folks, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation. That's when a bunch of people right now listening said, that's it, I'm turning this guy off.
Sure. And years ago, I might have been one of those people myself.
Is that the way you were raised?
It wasn't necessarily the way I was raised. It was more the cultural expectations, you know, born in, you know, high school where you have all kinds of gay jokes and so forth, than anything else. It wasn't through the faith I grew up in, actually. It was more the culture that I inherited those prejudices. And I wouldn't say that I was ever condemning of homosexuals, but I definitely, I would have been open but not affirming. I would have said, well, that's a sin like any other sin, and we need to be open to all sinners. The church certainly.
And what do you say to those people who have the most difficulty accepting that one single part of these affirmations?
Well, I think that when you take the affirmations as a whole, one finds that we have a lot of common ground. Someone may reject affirmation five, think it's anathema or what have you, when you take the affirmations as a whole, you find that we share a lot of common ground, even as we may have sharp disagreements with one another. And incidentally, we have found, one of the surprising things we found, in fact, as we crossed the country, was that not all conservative Christians are against full equality of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people. In fact, we had a surprising number of evangelical and fundamentalist Christians come up and say, you know what, you're walking for me, thank you. Now, they might whisper it, but they were saying that. It's amazing that we estimated probably about 25% of the population of the most conservative churches are still far more open than anyone would guess.
But isn't that kind of the basic theme of Asphalt Jesus, and that is that you've discovered the great diversity within Christianity?
Yes. To label anyone as conservative, liberal, or moderate is, we tend to think that that is kind of getting shorthand, you know, giving great insight in a very rapid period of time, but actually it does more to obscure the reality than to clarify it.
And the last four affirmations under the category Christian love of self includes.
Yes. Incidentally, I should say on that Christian love of self, one person wrote into our website once very vitriolic and angry. He said, you shouldn't love yourself. This is not a Christian thing to do. And, of course, when Jesus is giving the two great commandments, you know, he says, you know, the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, if you don't love yourself, I hope you don't love me like you love yourself. Then God created us in love, and we should love that which God created in us. Christian love of self includes affirmation 9 is basing our lives on the faith that in Christ all things are made new, and that we and all people are loved beyond our wildest imagination for eternity. Affirmation 10 is claiming the sacredness of both our minds and our hearts, and recognizing that faith and science, doubt and belief, serve the pursuit of truth. 11 is caring for our bodies and insisting on taking time to enjoy the benefits of prayer, reflection, worship, and recreation in addition to work. And finally, 12 is acting on the faith that we are born with a meaning and purpose, a vocation and ministry that serve to strengthen and extend God's realm of love.
Now, if you were attempting to take these down, because we had talked about the affirmations in the early part of the God Show this morning, and you happen to miss some, that's fine, because very few people are taking shorthand anymore. That's one of the reasons why we called your attention to the fact that it is, in fact, the first thing that you see in the book Asphalt Jesus by my guest, Eric Elness, and it is also available on his website, which is
crosswalkamerica.org.
And the reason that he called his organization that is because it's exactly what he did. He walked across America from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. Eric Elness, the senior pastor of Scottsdale Congregational United Church of Christ, I'm going to ask you right now before we take our break the same thing that almost everybody asks you, and that is, why did you walk from Phoenix across the United States to Washington, D.C.? Did you realize at that time that you were going to be specifically searching for the people you found, or was there a different intent at the beginning?
Oh, wow, that's a big question. First of all, why we were walking, it's probably best summed up by one of my parishioners, actually, who once said it just in utter exasperation, "Eric, I'm tired of being a Christian, but..." And I thought she meant B-U-T-T. What she meant was, no, I'm tired of the fact that I always seem to have to explain myself when it comes out. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I love people of other faiths. I'm a Christian, but I care about the earth and its ecosystems. I'm a Christian, but I love gays and lesbians. I'm a Christian, but science does not threaten me, and so forth. And she said, I just want to be known as a Christian and have that mean something in the realm of what I actually believe.
Keep that thought. Eric Elness returns on The God Show in a matter of seconds, as a matter of fact, on FM 90.
She knows a holler from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
Arizona's news, traffic, and weather station. Now with the biggest names in talk.
Show me proof that you are an American. How hard can it be?
And Carlo, 8:30 to noon.
Why would you want to see the execution of anyone?
Pat McMahon, 1 to 4. News, traffic, and weather. And the biggest names in talk. Only on News 92.3. KTAR-FM.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
I'm Elizabeth Rome. There's something I want to tell you that can save your life. It's the connection between some types of HPV, the human papillomavirus, and cervical cancer, a cancer diagnosed in thousands of American women each year. But cervical cancer can be prevented through recommended Pap screening and treatment if detected. Help others make the connection between cervical cancer and HPV. To learn more, visit maketheconnection.org. Sponsored by the Cancer Research and Prevention Foundation and Step Up Women's Network with support from Merck.
News, traffic, and weather on the way to work and heading home.
Bad weather and heavy traffic.
And while you work, it's Ed Carlo, 8:30 to noon. Pat McMahon, 1 to 4. News, traffic, weather, and the biggest names in talk. Only on News 92.3 KTAR FM.
Hey, Dan, what's up, girl?
I talked to him last night.
He came right to my door and asked if he could see me for a minute.
And?
We talked for almost an hour.
Get out.
He's so understanding. He just knew something was bothering me.
No way.
Get this. He said once he asked a girl out by serenading her.
Your dad did that?
He did, and he told me all about it.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
You're listening to The God Show on FM News Talk 92.3.
Eric Elness, probably when Mr. and Mrs. Elness said, Eric, what would you like to do when you grow up? He probably didn't say, I'd like to walk across America. I don't know, Eric, what your intent was at that time, but you eventually wound up growing up and doing exactly that from Phoenix to Washington, D.C., and you chronicled your journey in the book Asphalt Jesus, Finding a New Christian Faith Along the Highways of America. And what I really loved about this is that you didn't just write this as some kind of Christian documentary treatise on how it is that you can inspire people spiritually. You told stories. You told stories. Yeah. And tell us one now.
Well, it's interesting, this coincidence that happened in the studio right now about the photographer from Clovis, and seeing that your engineer is his wife.
We discovered that during the break.
Yes.
While we were doing the news. But what did you discover that was similar to that on this road?
Well, it reminded me of a number of incidents, but one of them being that we in St. Louis ran into a woman who said, you know, I saw you walking in Arnett, Oklahoma, and I thought you were a bunch of crazy tourists because you were walking out in front of this RV as I drove by. And I thought, why are they walking when they could be driving? But then I found out what you were walking for. I discovered your organization, and I looked that up, and she said, you know, I grew up in that town, and in Arnett, I learned that if you are gay, you are going to hell, and I'm gay. And I'd never felt comfortable speaking up because I wanted to protect my family. She said, to see you all walking through my hometown, proclaiming what you did, and actually finding welcome there as well, is healing for me. And we found that time after time. And we've also found that these affirmations and this proclamation has gone all over the world. We get emails from Australia, from Singapore. Just recently, we were actually taped here in Phoenix by an Irish television news program.
An excellent choice. It was the peak of your entire life. I want you to know that. That comes from John Patrick Michael McMahon. and by the way, you are being heard in Ireland right now. And you are being heard in Cairo. And people stream this broadcast, all of our broadcasts on FM 92.3, as we do this round the clock. And there are a number of very faithful and loyal listeners in the most unlikely places in Africa and India. And so that brings me then to this next question. With those people, wherever they are, will they find anything other than a new Christian faith? What about my Jewish friends? What about my Buddhist friends? Mm-hmm. Are they going to find anything within the structure of your journey discovering more about this asphalt Jesus?
What we were delighted to find was that this resonates across those paths and even outside the path itself with people who would say, I have no faith. One of the people actually who saw the pre-premiere of our film, The Asphalt Gospel, which is now playing in select cities across the country, and people can find that on our website as well where it's playing, was one person walked in, and after coming and seeing the film, she said, I wasn't a Christian, I'm not a Christian, and I saw your film now, and I'm thinking about becoming one. But we found that some of our great supporters, and even financial supporters, were people from other faiths who said, finally, Christians are taking responsibility for the problems that they are creating, and thank you. I mean, if all Christian faith was like this, we could live very civilly and happily alongside one another.
Were you offended by that criticism?
No, not at all. Many people, when we first formed Crosswalk America, thought we should be an interfaith organization rather than a distinctly Christian one. And we wrestled with that because we are open to others. But we felt that, you know, when it comes to addressing intolerance and fear and the negative aspects of Christian faith, the best people who can do that are fellow Christians. Just like as in Islam, the best people who can really rise up against radical Islam are people who are within that faith tradition.
I want to remind you, this is a local boy who made good, at least as far as the tennis shoe organizations are concerned. I have no idea whether you were sponsored by a particular brand, but you went through a few shoes, didn't you?
Three pair, each of us.
Eric Elness, senior pastor of Scottsdale Congregational United Church of Christ, and the author of Asphalt Jesus, and that person who, along with a number of others, created those affirmations. And by the way, if you are going to email me to send you a copy of the affirmations, don't. I am not a minister, but I am compassionate about your needs. So I am telling you right now, just contact Eric at his website,
crosswalkamerica.org.
Or if you don't want to buy the book, Asphalt Jesus, that's okay with me. I would imagine the Elness family would see it some other way. But you can go into the bookstore or the library and copy them down toward the front of the. And you know what? If you don't buy the book, hey, listen, I think probably in reading these affirmations, you will find that they are potentially life-changing. But do you really, Eric, in your wildest optimistic imagination, do you really expect, for lack of a better term, liberal and conservative congregations to ever agree on faith?
I would never expect them to agree on all aspects of faith, no. But I do expect that we do have a common ground between us. We have the path of Jesus. We all honor that path. And I expect us to attend to that path to the very best of our abilities. If we'll do that and see our fellow travelers on this path as real human beings who are really trying to do the best they can given the knowledge they have, and actually stay involved in conversation and not just simply condemn the other because they may disagree on one or two points, we can make a change and we can grow closer together and we can both be transformed across divides. This is not a journey about proclaiming my point of view or Crosswalk America's point of view and saying, we know the truth and you don't, now let us teach you. It's let us be transformed together by entering into conversation and embracing one another as fellow journeyers on this road.
Tell me a story, and I'm asking you to do this under tremendous pressure because you didn't know I was going to ask you. Tell me a story about someone who passionately disagreed with your position and the position of all those who walked on that journey.
Sure, I'll tell you a rather surprising one, actually, perhaps. We were in Columbia, Missouri. We were staying in the home that was owned by a gay man, and he was renting to two others, and both of whom were also gay. And when we met up with one of his renters to stay the night, he said, I have to tell you that, don't take this personally, but I hate Christians. And we said, okay, no problem. And anyway, to make a long story short, we kind of got curious about that comment, and we invited them out for beer on one evening when we were in town, and asked them more about that. And what we found was that he talked about the people who would hold up signs saying God hates fags at gay funerals and so forth, or AIDS is God's answer to homosexuality. And he was obviously angered by that, and that there were Christians who were holding up those signs. But what made him even more angry, though, were all of us who sit on the sidelines, who don't protest those things, who don't raise an alternative voice. He said, why? And he said he knew pastors who were open and affirming in his own town, but never preached this from the pulpit. Of course, I asked him, well, how do you know this? Because you don't go to church. But he had a number of people who did. But he said, why should you expect me to give my life to a faith that won't give its life to me?
And your answer?
My answer was, well, first of all, there are a lot of people who do raise a voice, ourselves included. And what he actually, we've stayed in contact since the walk. And he said just recently, I don't think that we share the same faith, but I believe we share the same God.
I can't possibly imagine going beyond the story you just told me. However, Eric Elness does on his website, crosswalkamerica.org, the book Asphalt Jesus, the program is The God Show, FM 92.3. Every Sunday morning at 6:30, I'm Pat McMahon.
You've been listening to The God Show on FM News Talk 92.3. To respond to any of the issues discussed, write to The God Show, 5300 North Central Avenue, Phoenix, 85012. The God Show on FM News Talk 92.3.